Good. All right, let's get started then. Welcome to the session about custom security trimming today. We're going to talk about a lot of complicated stuff here today. But before we go into that, I would like to present, sort of introduce ourselves a bit. I'm Morgan Larson. I'm a senior PM from Information Experiences Group. I've been working with the search solution for SharePoint 13 for the last couple of years. And I would like to introduce my fellow colleague here, Sveinar. And to do that, I actually need to go back in time a bit, 12 years more precisely, to a POC with a major company in California. That POC was all about real-time search and using real-time search to realize complex business scenarios. Now, as it turned out, that POC did not actually win the customer for us. But it's the ideas behind that POC that created a product suite that you can still find traces of in the search core today in SharePoint. That's where he comes from. Okay, Sveinar.
Well, Morgan Larsen, I'm a Norwegian. He's a Swede. We joke.
My apologies.
With each other. And I, so, don't despair, he doesn't have the accent from the Swedish chef, so he's bearable. But seriously, 16 years going back and forth between services and R&D, and 6 years in the search domain, so he's an expert on that. And it's actually crucial that he knows services and R&D. You might not be as geeky as I am, but he knows what you guys need and tell us.
Well, I hope
so. That's a good combo, and he's a good man to kind of make stuff that people love.
Great. Thank you, Sveinar. So, what are you guys going to learn today? Well, certainly, as it says on the slide, we hope that you will learn how to enable searching securely in third-party content. But to do that, we actually need to set some concepts straight first. So we're going to use the first 20 to 25 minutes during this session to establish some main concepts that one needs to understand. And once we've done that, Sveinar will go into some demos, displaying and demonstrating how you can use the different tools that we have to enable rather complex security trimming scenarios for search. I hope that you, by the end of the day, by the end of the session, will have a much better understanding of the tools that you have at your hand, how to use the tools, and what kind of questions you need to ask yourselves when choosing what solution you want to have. Okay? So, the first thing I want to mention and I want to talk about is security. We have already received questions about what this session is really about. So, for many people, security means something totally different from what we think about, like malware, antivirus, that kind of thing. That's not at all what we're talking about here. What we're interested in when we're talking about secure search is two main things. It's authentication and authorization. Authentication, of course, being identifying who the user is, right? The user can be the end user. It can also be a service user of some sort. For us, it's no difference. And to be honest, the search core does not really do the authentication ourselves. We have someone do that for us, namely SharePoint SDS, or Windows SDS for that matter. So the second part of it is authorization. So what is authorization, you might ask? Well, for us, it is defining the access policy, or understanding the access policy. So when we combine the two, knowing the who and knowing the access policy, we can determine from a search perspective which content a specific user have access to. So that's two bearing concepts that we need to keep in mind. Now over to Sveinar for an example.
Security is hard. Why? Is it hard? It is. I think we all can testify that security has its challenges. I mean, there are so many things. I mean, especially in a search engine, we have content source. If it's external content, we need to, and it has its security model, we need to kind of model that security model in the search index. I mean, it's not a given. We have to model that same security model when people are issuing queries. I mean, we disconnect the content from the source in the index. So if we have a spreadsheet with a name in it and a number as well, it might be salary information. And if there are documents on mergers and acquisitions, reorgs, anything like that, we need to be sure that once the crawler picks it up, we have to model that same security model as that content had originally from what we crawled it from. We need to model that in the search experience as well. If we fail to do that, we leak information, and with Twitter and all that stuff, that information goes out and it could cause irreparable damage to the brand or company. So it's we better restrict that data for people who are not authorized to see it when people issue queries. On top of that, security has a tendency of being, you know, added late in a project. It's not considered a feature usually, but it should always be considered a feature. So that also complicates matters with security being a hard topic to solve. To bring it back to security trimming, the document and content server, this is like a repository. It's got documents. That's okay. It's got users. And those users are different from Active Directory. That's not okay. It's got allow ACLs. It's got deny ACLs. That's kind of okay. We've seen that with file shares. That's okay. We can solve that. And then the security guys at Documentum say, yeah, we also have TCS. What? Like TCS? Trusted Content Services? They're very proud of this feature, but it has some challenges for modeling that security in a search index. What that is they have all groups and any groups. So we can give a short example of all groups. All groups, the TCS ACL for that. So if you have a document in Documentum and it's got TCS all groups ACL, it might say something like that. You have to be a member of group A, B, and C, and D in order to view that document. So my user might not be a member of all those groups. He might be a member of group A, B, and D. And remember, the ACL of the document has to be a member of group A, B, C, and D. I'm not supposed to be able to click on that in the Documentum content management system. And as such, I should not see that document when I issue a query if we crawl that Documentum source. You know, with allow and deny, it's easy to formulate that as a query term. But how would we formulate a query term with these groups? Well, I'm a member of three groups, so what if we do the permutations of group A, B, and D? Like, okay, have the original query and our query filter being A, or A and B, or A, B, and D, or A and D, or A. You might see where I'm coming through. There's these permutations of all my groups, and that's fine when we have three groups. That's okay. Security is hard. It says that on the slide, and it is hard because in reality, at least in Microsoft, the group membership average, 400. Thanks. So then we have to look into mathematics. And my calculator blew up. And the only thing I can find on the internet was ask the Wolfram Alpha, like 400 faculty. Like, could you guess? Is that a big number? Anyone know?
How big?
What is this number? Well, it is the number of query terms in addition to your original query that you have to tag on to the query before we send it over to the index for evaluation. So thanks. Sending this over the network, the number of terms in the query, it's not pretty. The network is like 6.4 times 10 to the 868 number of query terms. And you can, I agree, you can optimize it by sorting those groups and dividing the number by two. Ooh, hoop-de-doo. No, it's hard. Security is hard, and it's custom. And that's why the first takeaway here is that you should relax. What we're going to show you is how to solve these problems, like the Documentum guys coming to us saying, yeah, we want to put our stuff into SharePoint Search. How do we do that? We did solve their challenge with the tool set that we're going to show you soon. So we're going to help you at least learn what the tool set is capable of, and then show what you could use in order to solve typical security models and model that security model of the content source into the search index, so you can be the guy who is responsible for search and not leaking any information out to any of people who should not see that information in the first place. So with this amazing tool set, the second takeaway is that we hope to bring some clarity into the before picture of understanding security. So this is your understanding now. And once you walk out that door with all the questions answered, we hope to bring more clarity into this picture. I mean, the security trimmer toolbox is like your own master chief. It will help you put that content securely into the search engine, and so only authorized users can see it. It will help you trim more, exercise more, do marathons, make your teeth whiter. It will do all these things, do the dishes, but it will most certainly not help you with the fact that security is still complex. I mean, it's custom security, customer security, so it is different. The after picture might look something like this, and it's indeed the same picture. So just to keep in mind that even we have a very powerful tool set for you, we need to set aside at least some time in the project in order to properly solve the security challenge, so we're not that guy being responsible for leaking any information out as it was crawled into the index. So some special care is still needed.
All right, ready for some more concepts? Right, let's start to talk about late binding. Some of you might know of late binding as post-trimming. It's the same thing, two names. I will use both in this presentation, so don't get too confused. So what is late binding, really? Well, it comes from late, or the term post. It means exactly that. It means that we do trim the results that the index has returned after the query has been evaluated, in a sense. It means that we might have to return 10 million documents from the index and then trim it down to perhaps the 50 documents that the user is actually allowed to see. Make sense? Right. Is that effective? Maybe not. So what is an early binding? Some of you might have experience from the old fast product ESP. That was a known concept back then, but it's new for SharePoint Search. Early binding is a way or a concept that allows us to give the user the keys the user need to unlock the content in the index that comes from the external source. And doing that before we actually ask the index to return that content. That means we can be much more effective in the index lookup, we can reduce the results that we have the index return to us, and by doing that, we are a whole lot more effective. But remember, you need to have the ACLs, the security descriptors, attached to the content in the index to enable this. This is important to remember, and keep that thought and remember it for later on. So another way of describing it is using an analogy. So many of you guys flew here to Vegas, right? When you came to the airport, you went through the check-in, you went to the security check. The security check is basically late binding. So what's the purpose of the security check? Well, one thing, of course, to verify that the passenger is who he claims to be, but more importantly, to remove possibly unwanted objects from the luggage. Knives, scissors, liquids, you name it. Same thing. Late binding in secure search, remove the objects that we don't want to show to the user, right? Is there Another, is there a comparison we can do for early binding too? Yes, there is. So for me to be allowed access to the US, I need to have an ESTA visa, right? That's the kind of early check that the US government does. So I have to apply for the visa, and they are fully capable of denying me that access, and that's fine. Then the US government don't need to worry about that anymore. But if they allow me the access to the US, I get that visa, I can go buy my tickets, I can come to the airport, I can check in, right? If I don't have the visa in order, I can still buy the tickets, but the check-in will filter me away. So the access control is a lot earlier in that sense, and more efficient, right? And it secures the fill rate on the airplanes as well. So let's move on. I'm assuming most of you have seen this picture multiple times this week already. The search architecture in SharePoint 2013. So in most ways, almost every component that you see on this picture is important from a security trimming perspective. But to talk about security trimming from an end-to-end perspective, we actually need to isolate it into three distinct parts. You have the content side of things, content feeding, which is the first one we have selected here. We have the index part, and we have the query processing part. So let's start with the content feeding side, and more specifically, custom connectors. So let's zoom in on custom connectors, right? The fact that SharePoint comes with the ability to feed external content into the index is the sole reason we need custom security trimming. Because those external sources, as Sveinar described before in the example with Documentum, may have a totally different security model than what we know from AD. That's troublesome, but we can solve it. And the BCS framework that you see on this picture as well is the key to success in many ways. It may not be the ultimate solution, the ultimate tool that you need, but it does the job, right? So SharePoint comes with a number of out-of-box connectors, Documentum being one, Lotus Notes being one. On this picture, I have an Acme XML connector. Sven is going to use that custom connector for his demos. There's also, you can add any number of custom connectors. If you use the BCS framework for all it's worth, and using the one new feature that comes with BCS in 2013, the ability to augment claims information to the indexed objects. If you use that capability, you have laid the foundation for successful security trimming later on. So we will come to more details about that. So what is the security descriptor, you might ask, the claims? Well, roughly speaking, what BCS does for you, if you use it correctly, is it augments the crawled objects with the ACL information from the outside source. It brings that information into the index, and thus we have what we need to actually do the early binding. Right, so let's move from the content side to the query side of things. And let's strip away the index part, because it's not important for the explanation of the process. Before we go into the query evaluation as such, remember authentication, right? Spoke about that before in STS. Where does that come in? There. Already when a user logs into SharePoint, it's actually on the front end. STS does the authentication for us. So we in the search engine don't need to do that. But we need the claims set that we get for the user. We get that from STS. Remember that. Let's now zoom in on the query evaluation process, query processing, if you will. Just for reference, a normal SharePoint search without external content uses exactly this, the query plus the claim set that STS has given us, to do the lookup in the index. The crawler in the normal SharePoint search augments the objects with the claim set that we need. So we do the match with the claim set from the user on the front end with the claims that we have in the index, or in the ACL information. And that's what enables us to to make a match and retrieve only the documents that you're allowed to see. Sounds simple enough. So what if we then have a custom source, an outside source, be it Documentum or whatever? Okay. Let's assume, just for the sake of the example, that we have the BCS connector, meaning, well, we have a custom connector using BCS. We have been using the BCS capability of augmenting the claims. That means we can use pre-trimming, early binding. So what happens then? Right, so when the query comes in, we have the query terms, we have the claim set from SDS. Why is that not enough? Because SDS, SharePoint SDS, have no idea of the custom claims that we need from the outside source, right? That's a totally different security model. Doesn't need to be any match between AD and the custom source. So we need to augment the query plus the claim set from SDS with the custom claim set from the outside source. That's where early binding comes in. That's what we're going to see later on, Sven Ardu, in a demo. It's going to use pre-trimming to augment the claim set to unlock the content from the outside source that we have in the index. Fair enough, not that difficult. So let's assume then again, go back to the example from Sven with TCS, Documentum and TCS. TCS by nature is what we can call a dynamic security model. And a dynamic security model by nature is very difficult to actually index. That means that we have to use post-trimming. In addition to doing the pre-trimming based on the standard security model from Documentum, the flat allow deny security model, we can also, when TCS is enabled, apply post-trimming based on the TCS security model, the all groups and groups. So for the results that we have unlocked with early binding, we return that from the index into the post-trimmer, and then we can actually deduct that result set again. So we first unlock the content based on the allow deny settings, and then we do the TCS thingy, and we reduce the result set again and show only the content that the user is allowed to see. Does it make sense? Okay, I hope so. Right, I forgot to press that one. So late binding comes in there. And that basically completes the loop. And it takes you step by step through the query evaluation, what information we have, at what point in time, and when we use that information. All right, so I think now we're off to the first quick demo from Sveinar. And then we need to press this button as well.
Yeah. Finally, a demo.
Demo for post-trim.
Right, so in this SharePoint deployment here, we have a custom connector. And if we search for something here, we get two hits. First hit is Steve B's performance review from HR department. And the second one is a public statement on some Surface stuff. And we perhaps should have removed one of these. So let's have a look at what this the content that we have actually crawled. All right. I'm thinking of using this one. Right, so this is our external data source. This is an XML file, and this is what our connector picks its source from. So it's a product database somehow, but we also somewhat stick into performance review in here. But in the last part of each product, we have a security begin and security end section. This is interesting. This is where we, in our custom connector, kind of consume a claim and put that claim into BCS. So here we have a claim, it's an identity provider claim, and it says that the value is Windows, which essentially means that if the user is authenticated, we can see this this document then. And indeed, we are authenticated in the SharePoint scenario here, and we are seeing the two results here. But then we have some kind of interesting part here. echo meta. We have a string there, deny. This post trimmer that we're going to demo now, the logic of that trimmer is very simple. I mean, it could, for instance, just remove any other every second result or anything like that. But we want to show the new stuff that we did for the post trimmer. So this is a string field that's applied to all the results that come back. So we can check that content. And if that content has the word deny, we're going to remove that result. So that makes sense with DB's performance review. As the other item was SharePoint, no, Surface rules, the security section here has access on that one. So in theory, that should still be present. So we're going to deploy a trimmer now, and I'm going to explain it because I'm lazy and slow typer, at least for this week. I have a script that registers the trimmer. So the basic steps that we do when we register it, I have my DLL here. This is my DLL that I have for my project. I register it. I can use the gacutil for that and also dash L to kind of get more information, like the token, public token for that DLL in the GAC to kind of get the fully qualified name for it. I can list the registered trimmers that I have at this point, but the actual point of registering the trimmer happens here. And we'll go through what happens here. So new SB Enterprise search security trimmer, search application, that's fine. And then the type name, and that's this long string of a CSD search post trimmers, blah, 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 all that stuff, version and all neutral and public key token, all that stuff. That comes from the GAC util. You can ask it, okay, give me the fully qualified name for the GAC. So don't be scared from that. The actual interesting part here is the rule path and the ID. IDs, that's easy, just give it an ID. But the rule path, we associate this trimmer with a rule path, and that's the same as a crawl rule. So let's go back to our SharePoint installation in the search service application here. And now I clicked on crawl rules here. And we indeed have a crawl rule that we did register, XML doc colon slash slash. It's going to include everything. So we reference that crawl rule when we register this post trimmer.
That's how we know the source.
Yeah, exactly. Because we do not want to run the post trimmer code on documents that we don't recognize. I mean, my trimmer here has logic for XML doc. It better not be the case that it gives me any other stuff that I don't know how to process. So that's from a performance perspective, kind of also nice. And then, you know, hopefully you didn't see this latter part here, but normally you do stop service and restart service. This one is a bit of a hack. It finds the node runner, and then it kind of looks for any command line, has a query in it, and it kills it. So, and then the service manager goes, oops, there goes my process, and restarts it. So we need to actually restart the query component in order for it to load in the DLLs here. That's okay. So with that trimmer active, let's issue the query again. So hopefully Stevie's performance review should go away because it had the deny, right, in the echo part, and yeah, it did. So here we are, we haven't re-indexed anything like that. We just changed the result based on the post trimmer. That's it for that, then we'll get more into the nuts and bolts of this thing later on.
So a question, Svenner, can you have multiple post trimmers deployed?
Oh yes, you can have as many as you want, and you should have a crawl rule for each, and you can just have, you can actually have any kind of combination of both pre and post trimmers alike.
Good. So that means you can have multiple sources scrolled, right? Well, one post trimmer for each.
So. You mentioned
about the question is, what is it with the Documentum TCS that makes us want to do post trimming? Can we come back to that question later on when we do the demo for that part? Okay, so we have a few questions now before we move on. Right, so the lady in front.
I can answer that. We have the results. When we do post-trimming, I mean, we are, let's assume that you get like a million results. And the post-trimmer hasn't actually, you haven't executed your post-trimmer for all those million results. That's going to be a very expensive operation to do. So the post-trimmer probably only processes 50 of the returned hits. So we really don't know the number of hits that we can show you. So we approximate it, and we just say it's somewhat like that. We have the logic to do the paging properly, but it will be an information leakage if we are to give you the results, because then I can, you know, ask a buddy, okay, how many results did you get? Oh, I got one less. And he said, I am not okay. So you can deduce information from that hit count. So that's the TWC in Microsoft going, you can't do that. So that's why we do that.
Right. So I think we had a question from the gentleman behind. Same one. Okay. So there. You can't. The question is if you can make the refine accounts exact. And I think the answer is we can't.
Early binding.
Early binding is the key. Post-trim, with post-trim, you can't. That's just the way it is.
It happens post-query evaluation.
Right. So, yes.
All of them in sequence.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the question for those of you who didn't hear, if you deploy multiple post trimmers for the same query, same crawl rule, in which order will they apply? And they will just apply in the order they are basically deployed, right? So you can have multiple trimmers deployed under the same crawl rule. All right, let's try to move on a bit. We have more demos to come as well. So. What kind of strategies are there to sort of take into account when trying to figure out what kind of solution do I need? Well, we have touched upon a couple of different security models already today. We have touched upon allow deny, meaning a flat model. We also touched a bit on dynamic. There's also sort of the traditional hierarchical model that you can flatten if you need. So hierarchical and flat models are pretty simple, and usually it's possible to actually get the information we need to augment the content from such a model with the claims at index time. So hierarchical and flat models are usually quite suitable for pre-trimming. However, dynamic models may not be, because we don't necessarily have the information we need to create a claim set that is representable. So the tools you have at your hand is what we have seen or talked about already. You have pre-trimming and post-trimming. And you can use either or you can use both at the same time, as we saw with the Documentum example before. And I'm not going to go in deeper to that. There is more slides to come afterwards where we talk about when it's time to choose the solution. There's actually more to it than the technical parts. So with that, I think it's time for a deeper dig into the post-trimming.
Yes, so let's look into what's going on. So we had our result, but let's open up the post-trimmer. There we go. So we have one CS file here, which is our trimmer. So this is a class we called Search Post Trimmer, and it implements the iSecurity Trimmer Post. And that interface is more or less, it's got initialize and check access. Remember, the post trimmer is checking access when the query has been evaluated. The iSecurity Trimmer 2 is also an interface. You probably have heard about it. It is more or less just the same as iSecurity Trimmer Post, but we added a few things to it. The initialize section, it's the same as it has been. You can put in configuration parameters in here, and I'll show you later on how you would do that part. But the actual interesting part, when it comes to the actual meat of the trimmer, is the check access. So it's got the, it returns a bit array. That bit array, if a bit is false, document is supposed to be removed from the search result. True, we'll keep it. The first parameter is the document crawl URLs. So you could, in your logic here, check for something like, oh, this is a URL or some source that should be prohibited for the user. Well, what? Which is the user? Well, the past user identity for is essentially the claim set. So you know who is issuing the query. So you can use that and then have logic based upon the crawled rules and then remove documents from some logic. Or you could use this new part of the iSecurity Trimmer post interface, which is this parameter, and that's the only change from the iSecurity Trimmer to interface. But that gives you the opportunity to have a string that's returned with every search result, and you can put whatever you like in this field. We put access and deny in our example, if you can remember. And we can either point to some external source and go to that external source and check for some allow and deny there, or you can put anything here. So the actual logic of our trimmer here, oh, we do check for some null values here, but let's just skip through that. We start with newing up a bit array here, the URL status array. We'll new up the number of bits as the number of documents in our input. We'll also set all of those to false, so we trim away everything by default. And then we run through the document ACLs here in the for loop. If we have something on this document ACL, we set the document to be returned. But then we also check if that happens to be equal to the word deny, we'll set the bit for that document to false, meaning that we will remove every document that has deny in that doc ACL meta field. Otherwise, it's going to be true, and the document will be returned. And that's it. We return the bit array, and that's our trimmer, really. So if we change the logic here to access, save it, compile it, and again, I'm lazy. Modify post, what does that do? There we go. Well, as developers, I like to get a quick loop when I change things. So this one simply just replaces the DLL in the GAC and restarts the node runner. So there is really nothing magically happening here. Once we restart the node runner, it will be up and running. And here's our previous query. We had the public surface rules and the surface being returned. If we ask, hopefully things would have started, if we ask it to issue the query again, we have now essentially inverted the logic, right? So we would see Steve's performance review show up here. So this actually just concludes more or less the demo that we cracked open the post trimmer, the interface, showing you that, well, simple logic, having a bit of a dev loop. When you modify a debug, you can step through the code and, in a debugger as well, attached to the node runner, and you jump right into your DLL. Yeah, it should be pretty straightforward. With that, I give the word to Morgan.
Right, but basically what Sven just showed you is that you have control over what results you want to show, right? Yeah. And this is just a very simple example that we showed here. Can be much more complicated if you want it to be.
No indexing required for the post trimmer, so
that's correct.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to give Sveinar some time to prepare the final demo and just have two more slides. So Sveinar mentioned before the iSecurity Trimmer 2 interface. For those of you that have post trimmers in action already on SharePoint Search 2010, just be assured we're backwards compatible with that one. So you should be able to use your existing trimmers with the new solutions as well. So, time to choose solution, right. So we have already spoken a bit about the technical requirements with BCS augmenting claims to the indexed object and so on to enable pre-trimming, right? So that's the technical part of it. But is that all there is to it? No, normally not. As I'm sure most of you know, We have some consultants in the house, in the room as well, that knows this very well. Is usually the business requirements from the customer or the solution you are building that determines whether or not you can use post-trimming or not, or whether or not you should try to find other solutions, right? So what kind of questions do you need to ask yourself? Well, I think there's two primary questions. One is, how often does your security permissions change in the external source, be it Documentum, Lotus Notes, whatever? And secondly, how accurate and fresh do you need the security information in the index to be? Right. If the answer is to the latter question is you need to be real time, pre-trimming is not the right solution, because there will always be a certain index latency with indexing the security information. So if the security groups change frequently, you have an incremental crawl going at certain intervals, you can have a delay of the security update in the index anywhere from 30 seconds to 24 hours or even longer, meaning that if you have real-time requirements, you simply can't use that. On the other hand, post-trimming comes with other sort of caveats. Post-trimming would be ideal for the real-time requirement, because then we do a check at query time on the security permissions, right? But that comes with the cons of actually having an impact on query latency. So if you have real-time requirements on the security as well as very high requirements on query latency, well, okay, then you have a difficult decision. And there is, unfortunately, no good answer on whether or not one is better than the other. It's always sort of a weighing of the pros and cons between the two different solutions, knowing the characteristics of either of the solutions. Okay. And that's actually my final slide, and now it's off to Sveinar again.
Yes, finally. We're going to show the new stuff, the completely new stuff, the pre-trimmer. But before we jump into Visual Studio, I thought I would just give you a bit of an overview of the design of a pre-trimmer and what we're actually trying to solve. And then we'll jump into the source code and see the thing in action.
This is actually pretty cool in its simplicity.
Yep. So now, we got our pre-trimmer. The purpose is early binding. We're supposed to bind to something. That something is in the index. In the docacle part of the index, to be specific. It comes from BCS. So we have something there, but now we need to bind to it. And in order to do that, we need to know what or who is issuing the query. It could be a service. We need to know who it is. We have some logic now based on who is issuing the query in order to kind of go, okay, you issued the query, here are your set of keys or that we're going to add to the, or actually essentially the output. The output here is claims. That's kind of like keys. And the logic that we will have in our demo here is quite magic. Wait for it. It's a text file. So we have a text file that we can edit, and our trimmer logic, magically as it is, it will read that file every 30 seconds, and that file will contain a key and then a mapping to a group membership of our kind of legacy or XML connector database, or XML file, which I'll get back to. And that's it, really.
So wait a minute now, Sveinar. So this sounds very similar to the concept of custom claims providers. Why couldn't we use a custom claims provider to do the same thing?
Yes. You can use a custom claims provider, given that you have kind sysadmins. I mean, we try that, and if you have a couple hundred thousand users or more, sticking code into the SDS was not very much appreciated from the sysadmin's point of view, because whenever you hook onto SharePoint, log on to the thing, you will pay the price of getting ACLs and security group membership and all that stuff. So that could be costly depending on, well, the Documentum case, for instance. So look up there for group memberships for a few hundred thousand users is not cheap. So we had to go back and we came up with the pre-trimmer in order to kind of pay the price of the query when you do a query in the first place.
Right.
So then you can do all sort of magic, at least caching and in the pre-trimmer, but in SDS, you don't touch that, and the sysadmins don't come beat you on the head with something, and that's generally why. So you can technically, but in practice, it's not going to work.
Okay, thanks.
I think I can start with demo now. Let's see.
That one?
Yep. Right, so we're back here, Visual Studio. I had to kind of undo our little change here. So now it says deny here, and I redeploy the post trimmer. So the post trimmer is still active. We're going to keep it like that. The reason for that is that if we go back to our product database, let's see. There we go. And if I go to the beginning, we have certain laptops. But for the security begin section here, we got a clean type, Surface Microsoft Com Security ACLE. That's a custom claim. That's not Windows identity. All right, that's fine. I have a claim value being user one. It could be group one. I mean, that doesn't matter. Issuer being custom trimmer. And I had to revert the changes to the post trimmer because all the documents have the access here in the claim ACLE. And our post, the previous, the one we modified, it removed everything with the access in our change. So I removed it back. Now it only removes the denies. That's fine. So we have these claim types, the custom claim types now coming in from BCS for this document. And you remember, I searched for laptop, but I didn't see any results. The reason for that is that there are no one handing out the keys for it. So I'm as a user, I'm not allowed to see that because I don't have that claim in my claim set. So I get zero results if I search for laptop, except the one hit that I got on this one here, public surface rules. But we didn't see that one that I just showed for laptop. But before we do that, let's deploy the trimmer. And I'm going to show you what steps are required in order to do that. So let me just bring up, because I'm lazy, we're typing deploy pre. There we go. It's magically the same kind of steps as we did see for the post trimmer. It registers the search pre-trimmer DLL to the GAC, and we can list the trimmers. Here we should expect to see the post trimmer. It will be listed here. And then we register the trimmer. The pre-trimmer does not really need a crawl rule. It's not dependent on the action. When you issue the query, it's more or less who is issuing the query. It's not what documents are indexed. So we don't specify a rule path here. So we only specify the search application, and we go for the type name to kind of point it to the DLL and the GAC that we have our logic. And then I have a property section here. Let's look at that. So the property section is a key. Let's see here if I can make the one-armed. So the data file here is the key. And we have a tilde character here. And then we have a value. Let's see if I can do this. That points to our data file. This is how you can kind of take in configuration parameters during the initialize method of the trimmer. And finally, I give it an ID. I have one, an ID one, so I give this ID 2. And then I restart the node runner, as you've seen before. So that should have happened now. Let's have a look at the output. So list of registered trimmers. It lists the post trimmer. Oh, ooh, that's our post trimmer. So that's still running, and then it registered this one, ID2, pre-trimmer. It's got the public key data file being that extra groups data file, and it's a pre-face trimmer. This one specifies that we're now looking at a pre-trimmer. And there is no rule path, so this will always be empty. Right, so that registration has now been taken care of. Let's look at the logic of this thing. Okay, here we go, search pre-trimmer. We implement the iSecurity trimmer pre. Oh, it's there we go. The claim type here, Surface, Microsoft, Com, Security, ACO, that looks mistakenly kind of similar to the one we have here, right? It matches exactly. And the thing with claims, you need to match on the type, you need to match on the value, you need to match on the issuer, and you need to basically match on all these. And unless you do that, we take the claim and we transfer it to a queryable like word, essentially. So you need to match it up completely. So our trimmer here has a default, a claim type. And that is essentially the one we have indexed, so that's fine. It has a default data file, but that doesn't have a path. So we pass that along. And let's see now, in the initialize method, it's the same initialize as you would find for the iSecurity trimmer post. But it checks the static properties if it has a data file. And indeed, if that one, oh, that's nice. let's try to do that. It gets the data file key from that. So the lookup file path parameter here now will point to our C colon, let's see, in the deployment, it will point to the extra groups data file.txt. And let's look at that. So this is nothing specifically to the actual trimmer. This is our own logic. We can do whatever we want to do here. But here we have essentially a key here with North America, FSTCOMVM, blah, blah. This is the domain and user, colon. And then I have user 1 separated by semicolon, user 3 and user 2. These would essentially be my mapping to the group memberships in my external content data source. This could be any kind of group memberships, but I'm not like mapping into AD here or anything like that. I have a user, which is just custom. I just pick that claim, like who am I, as a key, and then I have a value here. I mean, so it would essentially then take the input from that data file and do something with it. It has a refresh data file. This one reads the data file. That's fine. But let's go into the actual interface for the pre-trimmer. So remember, post-trimmer was about checking for access. This is about adding keys, so add access. It returns essentially a list of claims. It takes in the same session properties, and most importantly, it takes in the user identity, which is the claim set that we have. And the next thing is that we are supposed to return a set of claims. We have a list of claims here that we knew up. We'll return a membership, which is essentially a list of groups. But before we do that, get user ID on the user identity. Let's go there. Right, so it takes in the user identity and it goes through all the claims here. Now, this is just the logic to kind of identify who is issuing a query. And I kind of look for a claim type on the user logon to kind of get the domain and user. I can return that. Otherwise, I can try to do some other logic to convert SID to some kind of user. But I return the domain slash username. That's fine. Let's go here. Then I call get membership on that user. So this essentially should return a list of groups that the user issuing a query is a member of. All right. Let's go to that function. Get membership, key, lookup, get, and then, so this is a key value lookup, like in a, it just gets the string. And it splits it by a semicolon. So now I should get a list, a string array, of user 1, user 3, user 2, the one that was in the text file. So if you look at a text file, again, the key here, and then we got the value, which is this part here, and we split it by semicolon. So now I get three strings returned. I did have a lookup class here, and that's this class here, but this is simply just a dictionary, and you can have some locking on this one as well, but you can make this arbitrarily complex or scale it out as much as you like yourself using compression and all that stuff. But for brevity, let's just assume that that one returns the value for a key. Now, if we go back to the section here where we are, we have the membership, and then we, for each through the membership, and as the value member here, we simply new up a claim and add it to our list of claims. So now we have the claim type, which we got from the default constant, and then we have the member, which is from the text file, datafile.txt. We have the claim value type, which is of string. It was also in the constants at the top. The issuer being the custom trimmer. We have to kind of give the original issuer and the issuer here as well, but then we just add that, and we return a list of claims. And that's really it. So if we look at it by issuing a query, there we go. We search for laptop, we got one result, and now with a pre-trimmer active, we should see the other results from all the other contents in that XML file coming back. So now we have the keys for my user. That's all fine, and they're here. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And you can, if you go back to, remember I said that this file is read every 30 seconds. Let's try to just modify it. Let's mess it up, because then remove user one, we should see fewer results, right? Statistically, we should wait 15 seconds, I guess. Let's see. Okay, we got fewer, we got three. So in that sense, you know, you can, based upon who you are, you can adjust, give out the keys dynamically, more or less. And you do this also keeping these guys here in shape. So the refiner count will still be there. If I do remove things in a post-trimmer, I have a post-trimmer active here, it will essentially not give accurate accounts, but for more... If you only do some trimming in the post part, you should be fine. So the common case in the documentum case to the gentleman's question on why do we need to do post trimming for TCS, it becomes computationally infeasible to send in this as a query. So we need to do most of the work in the early binding phase as a pre-trimmer, showing us the allow and deny. And when we ask the guys at documentum, how many, what's the percentage of TCS ACLs in the data corpus? And they said, it's less than, 20% maybe. Okay, so 80%, you're saying we're good? Oh, good. So then we made it common case fast, and we sift away the few TCS ACLs that we find in the result set that we return back. And then we have a working solution. So.
All right, so I guess that ends the demo session. We just have a few more slides to finish this off.
Yes. So we did expose you for with the tool set, the late binding with post trimmers, checking access once we have evaluated the query. We introduced the new cool stuff with the pre-trimmers and early binding that we highly recommend for performance reasons and all that stuff. But it might be cases where you need both. We did look at the performance and the correctness trade-offs that we have to make. The one thing we didn't show you here was the BCS part, right? We just glossed over that fact. And if I'm sitting where you're sitting, like, okay, so how do I get that stuff in? Well, as I said in the beginning, we're here to enable you to do that. And there are two reasons for not really showing you how to do that. First off, there are some hands-on labs, and there's a session on that tomorrow. But the actual more important thing is that we got blogs. And that blog comes with everything you need to get started. The first entry there is a pretty in-depth discussion on how you would use BCS, how do you set up the model file, and also you'd know that it actually returns a byte array. How do you format that byte array? You go like, yeah, you can read this protocol documentation and you can figure it out. Yeah, just take that code. It has everything in it, so you can just go get started immediately. So it also contains the post-trimmer that we've shown here, also the pre-trimmer that you can work on. I mean, obviously you can build upon the pre-trimmer to keep stuff in memory. Perhaps you want to have the group membership as a Windows service that kind of syncs with some external source, so you do some caching on a set of machines or on the cloud in Azure or whatnot. You can do all of that as a starting point, compression in memory, all these magic things. You can use a netpipe to talk to that service, and you can do much more things than have a data file that you read from regularly. That's a bit, let's say not performant enough.
We need to speed up.
Yes. So tomorrow, essentially, there are some hands-on labs, but more importantly, after at 6 o'clock, 6:15 actually, we'll be at the lounge to answer your question. We'd love to hear about your models.
Your specific needs and questions.
Yes. There are some related sessions here as well, but I think we'd like to open up for questions.
We don't have much time left, actually, but if there are any questions, please come with them now. Okay. Right.